If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 1. When everyone's found their place, please stand. And it says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in eventide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray, dear Lord, that you would be with us and help me, dear Lord, to say the right words and to say the right things, dear Lord, and have the right thoughts as I give this scripture, dear Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just bless the preaching tonight, dear Lord, and I pray that you bless the preaching for the rest of the afternoon, dear Lord. Just help me, dear Lord, to obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we see here in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." Now, this is the last day of his conference, and y'all missionaries are going to be going different ways, and we're going to be here, and we need to be careful that after all the excitement's over, that we don't lose our yearning to do what God wants us to do. We need to still keep up the burning and show the light and do what's right all the way until the next his conference in July. We need to keep on going and do what's right. We need to be careful that we don't allow sin into the house and that we keep our houses clean. We need to be careful after these missionaries leave that we don't say bad things about them, like, "Hey, that missionary, his kids didn't obey very well." So they start gossiping about those missionaries, or they start gossiping about this missionary because, "Hey, we didn't like how he preached," or something like that. And I just want to say that we need to thank God that he's allowed these missionaries to come and preach, and that he's allowed them to be here, and that he would just give us a blessing from their messages, and that we can listen to them on the tapes and get blessings from them in times to come. We need to just thank God that he's allowed us to be here, pastors. We need to thank God that he's allowed pastors to start his Baptist churches. And we need to be careful that we don't gossip about any missionaries or start any fights between ourselves, because that will weaken our effort for Christ. We also, y'all missionaries, also need to be careful that you don't spread rumors about our church when y'all go out, and y'all don't say bad things about our pastor and stuff like that. Because, you know, David, he was a man after God's own heart, and he was very great for God, but he still got caught up into sin. And we, how many of y'all are called after God's own heart? Amen. Not me. I don't see any hands. So, I mean, David was a great witness for God, but he got caught up in sin. So anyone can get caught up in sin. So we all need to be careful. And we need to be careful that we're doing what's right and that we're obeying God and that we're following after what he tells us to do, and that we don't try to do what's wrong. Really, what I'm doing is doing repetition, because it aids learning. We need to just obey God, and we need to keep up witnessing for him. We need to tell others about Christ. We need to be out there preaching, street preaching, doing whatever you can to get people to go to get saved so they can go to heaven, so we can get the whole world. Because it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." He wants everyone, the whole world. It's not like the Jehovah Witness say there's only supposed to be 144,000 people in heaven. No, there's more than that. God wants the whole world. He has room for them all. But there's only going to be parts of them that accept him. So we need to get out there and tell everyone, even though you may have doors slammed in your face, or you may be have people curse at you. You know, John Michael, he went out with JJ, and they offered him beer while he was out there. You know, they thought he was old enough to have it and stuff. And, you know, you got to be careful that where you go and how you get. You know, you're going to have people that are going to come up to you that are really out there, and you don't know what to say to them, but you still need to tell them about Christ. There's a place up in Dallas I heard Mr. Timms talking to my dad about. It's this homo hospital, like rehabilitation center or something like that, for homos. And he wants to go out there to preach to them, Mr. Timms does. So my dad said, "I'll go out there with you." You know, that's the one thing that Mr. Tim wants to do in his life, you know, wants to go out there. Now, there have been people that have gone up there and preached, and they've had bricks thrown at them and stuff. And they've had to go to hospitals because the homos injured them. So Mr. Tim said, They were coming on down here before they got here. They were coming down here, and Mrs. Timms argued with them, told them, no, you don't want to go, because they were going through Dallas. So Mr. Timms goes, yeah, we need to stop. We're here. Come on, let me go preach to them. Just 5 minutes. Mrs. Timms goes, no, I won't let you out of the van. So he didn't get a chance, but he really that's one of the final things he wants to do. He wants to get a bunch of guys together to go up to that homo rehabilitation center so he can preach to them. You know, that's how we need to be. When he was over in Europe, he wanted to go down to Vatican City and preach to the Pope. But his wife wouldn't let him go down to Italy either, so he just got to wait until his wife dies or something, until God changes her heart or something. Maybe God will convict her to let him go preach to those homos and stuff. So we just need to be willing to go for Christ so we can preach, and we need to be willing to spread the word. You know, we have sin in our lives, and that's what preachers here are for. We're here, the preachers are here to preach to us. You know, it says in chapter 12, let me see, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. God sent Pastor Harvey to this place to preach to us and to tell us when we've done wrong to, never mind, I'll get it sometime. But he's here to preach to us and tell us when we've done wrong. He's here to tell us, like when we need to get right with God. Sometimes he's here to encourage us. He's here to help us, and just we need to obey him and reverence him as our pastor. We need to follow after him. He's the leader and the head bishop of this church, and then God's over him, and God put him in this place. So when we're in a real sense, when we dishonor Pastor Harvey, we're dishonoring God who's put him here. Even though he may not follow the Bible and everything, which I know Pastor does, I don't question his doctrine at all. He has very good doctrine here. He's very strong here. We went to a church back in Tennessee, and there were ladies leading the choir. This was my grandma's church. The lady was leading choir, and we had the preaching was really good, but we had the lady leading the choir and the singing, and it's just no place like this place, any other place in this country. This is a very good place, and I'm happy to be here. And I want to say that I'm thankful for the pastor God has given us, and we need to reverence him. We need to obey him. When missionaries come, they need to reverence our pastor while they're here, and if they don't, then we'll get Mr. Lights to throw them out. But anyway, they need to reverence our pastor, and they need to have the same reverence for Pastor Hammonds. He's the assistant pastor, and if anyone stands up against him, whether it be about the school or anything, I think they'll have major problems to deal with. I mean, John Michael's back there. We'll get them to beat him up. So we got John Michael and the boys in the church. We will take care of our pastor and our assistant pastor and their wives. No one should be disrespectful to Mrs. Hammonds. When she comes up to you and tells you to vacuum the hallway, then you vacuum the hallway. Even if it's been vacuumed before and she doesn't know it, you still vacuum the hallway. If she tells you to go clean the bathrooms with a toothbrush, you go do it. That's what you're supposed to do. When Mrs. Harvey asks you to do something, that's what you're going to do. You better obey her, because God has put them in leadership over us, and we need to reverence them and to obey them. And it says in verse 1, to get on with the verse in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nurtured up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Now I want to stop right there. You see how David's anger was greatly kindled against this man. You know, we need to be careful that we don't judge others when we might have sin in our own lives, because we're prone to do that as humans. We're prone to say, well, let's see, Joseph over there, he did this, and then you get caught up by your parents because you didn't wash the dishes or something, and you disobeyed your parents. So we need to be careful that we don't judge other Christians, that we look to our own hearts. That's what communion's about. We're to take care of our own problems, not to worry about Joseph's problems or Joshua's problems, but to worry about Nicholas's problems, no one else's but mine. So that's what we need to be careful, that we don't judge other people. We shouldn't be judging these missionaries that are here too soon either. They've only been here for a week. How are you going to get to know them in a week? It takes months to get to know one person. So you've got to be careful that you don't overjudge someone. And let's go on in verse 7. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee to thy master's house, and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do it this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, now I want you to get this, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now it says right there that David owned that he had sinned, and he repented of his sin. Now when pastor gets up here to preach against us, and you know you have sin in your life, he may not say your name. He may just mention what you've been doing. Well, then you need to take it graciously and come to the altar and ask God to forgive you. And say, "Dear Lord, I've sinned against you. I want you to forgive me. Take that sin out of my life. Strengthen me in family devotions if you're a father. Strengthen me in my personal devotions, in my personal prayer time. I have that problem. I don't pray enough." And we need to pray that God will strengthen us in those different things. And it says, "And Nathan said unto David, The Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." So the Lord is willing to forgive us. All we have to do is ask him. That's when we got saved. No matter if you were a murderer, no matter what you had done, if you asked God to forgive you and to save you, and you repented of your sins, you asked him to come into your heart, then he will save you. And if you truly meant it, he will save you. He is willing that none should perish. He wants everyone to go to heaven. So that's all you have to do, and God will forgive you. And when you do get that out of your, when you get that sin out of your life, look over at verse 29 of that same chapter. "And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones. And it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance." So God will give you the victory in your life once you repent of that sin. You get it out of your life. You start working for God again. You get with your family devotions, your personal devotions, your prayer time. You start working up again. God will bless your life. He will do great works through you. All you have to do is just surrender to him. It's the same with me. I hate standing in front of crowds. I'm up here and I'm soaking the pulpit with sweat off my hands because I'm so nervous. I hate being in front of crowds. But God's called me to be a preacher. And if I don't surrender, then he's not going to bless my life. I'm going to have a horrible time. Miserable is what I'll be. So we need to just surrender your lives to him. We need to give them over to him, and he will use you in a great way. And make sure when you do get sin into your life, you've been convicted about it, don't hold on to it. That will make you miserable. You'll hate yourself for it. You need to get rid of it, and you need to go on and serve God. Don't mope about things that you've gotten rid of. Don't go back to it. Don't pull it back up. You just need to get rid of it and then forget it. God's forgotten it. He's thrown it into the depths of the sea. He's forgotten it already. You just need to truck on. Just go on for him and serve him to the best of your abilities.